A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Sanhedrin Chaf Beis, Sanhedrin 22a, pagination is 43. We'll start from the Mishnah, which is the middle of a line, about middle of the page, regarding a king of the Jewish people and the way he should be respected. Ein rochven al suso, not allowed to ride on his horse. This, of course, reminds us of the incident in Megillas Esther, where Haman is asked how we should honor somebody that the king wants to honor. And Haman goes way out of bounds and says, oh, the horse that the king rode on should be given to that person. Of course, it turns out to be Mordechai. It is perhaps not a perfect comparison, although it does remind us of that, because the Targum over there says that it wasn't just the ordinary horse of the king, but the horse that the king rode on the day of his coronation. But in any case, we do see that the horse that the king rides is part of the pomp and ceremony. It's part of the experience, and a person is not allowed to violate that by riding on the king's horse. Ve'en yoshvin al kiso, you're not allowed to sit on the king's chair. We call that his throne. Ve'en mishtamshin b'sharvito, and you're not allowed to use his scepter. And we'll see that that concept gets extended to things that are, or we'll see, a person that's closely identified with the king. Ve'in ro'in oso kishuhu mistaper, you're not allowed to see him while he's getting a haircut, v'lo kishuhu orum, and not while he's unclothed, v'lo kishuhu beveis hamerchatz, and not when he's in the bathhouse. Shene'emar, the pasuk says, the mitzvah of having a king is som tosim alecha melech, to place upon you a king. Shetei maso alecha, it's placed upon you, his reverence, his respect shall be placed upon you, and if these things were to happen, they would violate that relationship of respect that they're supposed to be. This pasuk, of course, opens up the discussion of why, in the time of Shmuel, when the Jewish people said, Tena lanu melech, give us a king, Shmuel was upset with them and said, V'Hashem Elokeichem Malkechem, Hashem is your king. What do you need a king for? And everyone asks, what was Shmuel getting upset about? It's a pasuk in the Torah, Som Tasim Alecha Melech, that they're supposed to have a king. And the answer, at least one answer, is in the very dramatic difference, the way the pasuk worded the relationship and the way the people worded the relationship. The people are saying, Tenad lanu melech, give us a king. We are in need of a king, and he's answerable to us. And the pasuk was talking about appointing a noble, righteous, moral leader, som tasim alecha melech, who's above you, who's upon you, who you're going to serve, not who's going to serve you. Of course, that dynamic would develop or exist if you appoint a righteous person with tremendous power. He's going to use it for the benefit of the people. But the statement of relationship was a very different statement. The requirement of Som Tosim Alach HaMelech is reverence, not appointing someone to service you. The Gemara begins by springboarding from the Sharvito, the scepter of the king, being restricted to other people. Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Avishag muteres leShlomo vaAsura laAdoniyo. Avishag was permitted to Shlomo and was forbidden to Adoniyah. Let's work this through one step at a time. Shlomo is the son of David who became king. Adoniah is a son of David who wanted to be king, but he wasn't. Adoniah, at one point, beginning of the book of Malachim, asks for Avishag as a wife. Bathsheba, Shlomo's mother, doesn't see through the plot right away, but Shlomo sees it. Shlomo sees that what Adoniah is doing is taking Avishag, which is only permitted to a king, and if that was going to be authorized, if Shlomo would approve it, then it would be an act of rebellion, which it was simply by his request. Who was Avishag? The pasuk in the beginning of Malachim says that David, in his old age, had trouble getting warm, and the strategy that was recommended is that he should have a youthful woman around him, and it would help him. David, as we'll see in a moment, did not take her as a wife, because he already had 18 wives, and did not want to divorce any of them. Interestingly, even those that were forbidden to him, because Avshalom had assaulted them, and he would not be intimate with them anymore after that incident, even those that were not permitted to him in intimacy, he didn't want to divorce them because divorce is so serious. So he had no choice. He already had 18. He took Avishag on simply as a servant. But she was the designated servant. And therefore, the Gemara is telling us she had the status of the scepter of the king. Shlomo, being a melech, is allowed to use the scepter of the king. David never married her, so it's not the wife of his father. It's the scepter. Shlomo as a king could do that. Adoniah as a hedyot, as an ordinary person in the people, would not be allowed to do that. Let's skip down four lines, and we have the story related by the Gemara. At the end of a line, Vahanara Yafa Ad Ma'ot, she was very beautiful, Vati Lemelech Sochenes Vatesharseyu, and she served the king. Amra, she said, Ninsivon, let's get married. This is not so comfortable that I'm serving you. Let's get married. Omar lo, asirasli. He said, you're forbidden to me. As much as it's uncomfortable that a woman is so close to David, who's such a big tzaddik, without getting married, David said, I have no choice. I can't marry you. Omar le, she said to him, chasre liganva nafshe lishlama nokit. When a thief doesn't find what to steal, he makes it look like he's a moral person. Which was an analogy. What she was saying in her riddle is, you don't have the strength to be with a woman, and that's why you're making righteous excuses that you can't marry me. Amalohu, David said, Kiru li Levasheva, call Basheva, Uksiv. And the pasuk says, "Vatava Basheva el Amelech haChadra," and Basheva came to the king in the private room. Rav Yehuda says, in the name of Rav, Ba'osa Shah, at that time, Kincha Basheva b'shlosh esrei mapos, David was with Basheva, and she had to wipe herself clean 13 cloths. That's how much David was strong to be with her intimately, and the number 13, although we do encounter it according to some commentaries as sometimes being an exaggeration, it means a lot of times. But if you look at Rashi here learns Shabel lo yud gimel bios, he was with her 13 times, umekaneches ben tashmish letashmish, and she wiped in between each time. And says Rashi, which is where you really see that Rashi is emphasizing that this is not being learnt as an exaggeration, Rashi says, there are 13 words in the pasuk. Rashi says, if you count the words in the pasuk, Malachim Aleph Aleph Pasuk Tesvav, you'll see that there are 13 words. The name Bas Sheva counts as one word. And you see that Rashi is learning the number 13 here quite literally. The Gemara tells us on the next line, Kama Koshin Gerushin. That's how serious divorce is. Sharei David HaMelech Hitiru Lo LeYached. They allowed David to be together with this woman, Avishag, and she ascended to the status of the scepter of the king. V'lo Hitiru Lo LeGaresh. And they would not, Chazal of the time, did not tell him that he should be divorcing one of his wives. Rav Pam pointed out, even one of the wives that he was not going to be intimate with, that's still a gerushin, and that's something he would not do. The Gemara tells us, as we quoted at the end of Gittin, Kol ha-megaresh es ishto rishono afilu mizbeach morid alav dema'os. The mizbeach cries over such a thing that the person's wife is being divorced. A little bit later on the page, four lines up from the widest, Ki'ilu chara beis hamikdash b'yamav. A person's wife dies, that loss is like the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. This is a very strong relationship. When it's severed, for whatever reason, it's very serious, and a person should certainly not bring that upon himself. One line up, Lakol Yesh Temura, everything is replaceable, Chutz Me'eshes Ne'urim, except for the wife of one's youth. On the next line, Ein Adam Motze Koras Ruach, a person does not have true satisfaction, Ela Me'ishta Rishona, except for his first wife. And although we live in a generation that considers everything disposable, but the line has to be drawn regarding marriage. It's not disposable. On Amud Beis, we have other interesting perspectives. The Gemara says, Isha Golam Hi. A woman is like an unformed item. In Talmudic logic above all, so to speak, that comparison could be made. A woman, at the time that she's a besula, a virgin, she's not yet formed in one of the dimensions of marriage. Ve'ena koreses bris ela lemisha osa'a kli, and the woman does not form the highest level covenant except for with the person that makes her into the full relationship, which means the person who had that intimate act that made her into a full marriage relationship. It's important to appreciate the Talmudic logic, the comparison. We do analogies in different parts of creation, and over here it's like comparing it to the Makeh Bepatish concept of Shabbos. If something is not yet usable on some dimension, and you make it usable, that's a significant act. Finally, Ein ish meis ela leishto, ve'ein isha meisa ela lebaila. A man dies, the one who's really affected is his wife. A woman dies, the one who's really affected is the husband. And that's the concept of soulmates. Yeshe koach, thank you for joining.